This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
So every year I stand in faith for the Lord to give me a prophetic word for the year. A word that will kind of explain what the year is about. Now, there's a lot of hashtags and terms and conditions. God, I don't believe, works in years the way we work in years. I don't see God of 2007, 2008, 2009. I see God, where are we now? 2018, 19, 20. I see God, a God of generations, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But at the same time, God gets us. And he understands years, because we only have 80-odd years on earth. And so every year, there seems to be a prophetic word that he'll give out. Something for the year that will encourage us and help us, either for the nation or for a specific congregation or the greater bride of Christ. And that's normally how I open up every year. With that, I normally bring some other token, something to remind you of the year. So normally I'll bring a samurai sword or a bow and arrow or a motorbike or something to help us remember what the word is for the year. Okay, relax. As I'm still new here, I don't want to freak you out. I do thank Kip and Nancy who come from all the way from Cape Town. It's great to have you guys here visiting this morning, and they know exactly what I mean. And then great to have Stefan Olifer also visiting from Stellenbosch. Really makes me feel at home. One of my first small groups that I was in was actually with Jaku Berger. And what an honor to see Jaku and Nisil and the family this morning. Such an awesome way to walk with people over time, isn't it? To grow together, to have the testimonies and the stories. But this morning, I'm not bringing that word. You're off the hook. All right? And as I was praying and asking the Lord for a prophetic word, what is this year about? The Lord just came and through my wife. It's normally how God speaks. Reminded me of a sermon that I gave 5 years ago in Shofar Cape Town. My first sermon that I preached in Shofar Cape Town. Ironically, it was the first sermon I preached ever in Shofar. And we're going to kick off with that if it's all right. I really do believe this will help us to understand a little bit of God. Now, last year I started with a little sermon series on the walled city, the city of refuge. You guys remember that? Those were here. I've got one more to go, so that's still coming. I've got a sermon series on Joseph, hopefully, still coming. I've got a prophetic word, hopefully, still coming. So a lot to look forward to for 2019. Be here on Sundays. I entitled the sermon, Abiding in Him When God Prunes. So the actual sermon is When God Prunes, but that's always like very negative. So abiding in Christ. Hashtag When God Prunes. And we're going to look at John 15. Now, I need to say, because of Dr. Corne Becker, for those of you that know him, my favorite character in the New Testament is John. John the Beloved. It's my favorite. And John has an amazing way of bringing Christ to us. And we see as John in all his letters and all his writings, how he grows up and matures. John was the youngest of the disciples. He was the youngest disciple, we believe. And the nice thing about John is he's the guy that made it to the end. Okay? The rest all got martyred beforehand, lost their heads, upside down crucifixions, some crazy stuff. John made it. And we read in Revelations, for those of you who don't know, was written by John. And it's really interesting with John, when you think of a prophet, you don't think of John. You think of John the Baptist, right? But not John the Beloved. But you see, John was able to write Revelations because he understood the heart of Christ. So many prophets of today do not understand the heart of Christ. They're willing to tell you, thus saith the Lord, but without connecting with why the Lord says it. And that's why John is so dear to me. John is the guy that writes about the beloved. And his letters, 1 John, 2 John, you read about the beloved. Now, we're going to be reading out of John 15. Now, just to give you a little bit of a heads up. New Testament scholars have called John 15 the farewell discourse of Christ. See, Jesus is speaking to his disciples in Jerusalem. And the beautiful thing is that this chapter concludes with God saying, persecution will come, but so will the Holy Spirit. It's where we get the word Parakletos, the Holy Spirit. John is also, the Gospel of John is the I Am Gospel, where Christ declares who he is. He's the bread of life. He's the true vine. He's the light of the world. He's the gate to the sheep. He's the good shepherd. He's the way, the truth, and life. The I Ams. And he's the I Am, the resurrection. As we heard at the end of worship. So we're going to read a little bit of scripture together, if that's all right. Can we do that in church? Is that good? Because I know that we don't read enough scripture. And it's something that's really dearly on Ross's heart. And we're going to work through a lot of scripture this year. So for those of you that aren't scholars like me, Stacta, the Lord is with you. There is an amazing invention called the audio Bible. You can even listen in the car to the audio Bible. If you don't know how to get the audio Bible, ask your neighbor next to you. And if they don't know, ask the person that will be within three people. You'll find someone that can help you find that. All right? Amen? We need to be full of the Word of God, and we need to do whatever we can to fill ourselves in the Word of God. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burnt. If you remain in me, thus braai. Okay? You with me? It's going like a braai. Right. I've lived in Durbanville officially 2 weeks. I braai three times. We're doing good. God loves me. Come from Cape Town. No braai. No fireplace. Where am I? We're braaiing. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you might bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy might be complete. My commandment is this: love each other as I have loved you. There are some amazing sermons that Christ gives. Most of us know about the Sermon on the Mount. You guys know about the Sermon on the Mount? Then there is, for those of you who don't know, also in Luke, the Sermon on the Plain. Amazing sermons that Christ gives. And then John gives this amazing sermon of Christ. This is, for me, so beautiful. So much so, if it's all right, we're going to take the scripture word for word. Can we break up the scripture word for word? If not, the doors are at the back. You're more than McDonald's down the corner. We'll be a little while. I've color-coded just for you. Let's look at this. I am the true vine. If there's a true vine, there's a... Amen. Otherwise, he would have just said, I'm the vine. Christ is saying that I am the true vine. Where am I? Where's my laptop? I'm so excited. And my Father is the gardener. He, being the Father, cuts off every branch in... that bears no fruit. Hang on. Is he saying that he cuts off people that's outside of Christ? Is he saying he cuts off religious people? To Conrad in the back, yes, no, amen. Scarp. Is he saying that he cuts off people within him? That bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, the Father prunes so that it will even be more fruitful. There are two types of pruning. Did you see this before in Scripture? There are two types of pruning here. The first pruning is if you're dead wood. Can we get that next slide? The first one is pruning, where we remove dead, diseased wood. That's what we normally know as a winter pruning. There's a thing called a summer pruning. See, how it works is in the grapevine, sometimes a shoot will just go for it. And it will keep on growing and growing and growing. It will push up more leaves and more leaves and more leaves. And if you don't cut that, it will bring no fruit or very little fruit, because all the energy is going to produce into the leaves. More so, what happens is those leaves will cover the rest of the vine, and the rest of the vine or the vineyard won't get enough sunlight. It will also cause diseases to come. So the pruning that we're speaking about, the pruning that I really want to focus on, is when God prunes us so we might get fruit. And notice the pruning is normally in spring. It's when there's growth. So often in our lives, something starts going right for the first time ever, and suddenly, stop. Finally get the promotion you always wanted, and then it wasn't exactly what you thought it was, right? Finally, the girl of your dreams finally likes you, but now she's going to England. I don't know. Whatever. Not good examples. But are you hearing what I'm saying? Sometimes God prunes us because there's fruit that's growing that needs to stop the energy that goes. Because the vine, the vine itself only gives so much energy to the whole plant. And if all the energy goes into that, it becomes dead works. How many times have we not done things that's been dead works? Men, how many times have we not started a project and never got to the end? I'm going to build a mooi braai. And my mooi braai is nog steeds 2 baksteene hoog. 7 jaar later. Ladies, those of you married, remember, you don't have to remind, your husband will get to it. You don't have to remind him every 6 months. Was it too soon? Too early? Okay. There's a thinning out that God does. Let's get back to that scripture. He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the words that I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. Why would Christ ever tell us to remain in him? Does that mean we can leave? Does that mean we can leave Christ? Great questions, loving it. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. We're speaking about people that have been planted into the vine. We're not speaking about people outside the vine. We're speaking about Christians, people that have come to salvation. So Jesus is having a conversation with his disciples, and he's telling them this. Just before the disciples completely lose the plot. See, this story, this sermon was given at the Last Supper. This is just before Jesus was betrayed. Hey, come on now. This is good. This is the last thing that Christ says to them before he goes and gets crucified. This is his last sermon. You'll notice the way Jesus is talking is totally different than he does in other parts of Scripture. This is one-on-one, man. This is you and me. This is Christ right here in our face. This is not him speaking to the masses. This is not him speaking to, you know, nice concepts and hidden stories. This is him speaking to his apostles, to his disciples, face to face. This is him declaring who he is, who we are, and who the Father is. This is beautiful. This is amazing. But this is scary. What I love about, a little further on, John 17, Christ gives what is known as the farewell prayer or the high priestly prayer that he praises over the church. This is an intense part of Scripture. This is just before Jesus goes over the Kidron Valley to go and pray. In the Garden of Gethsemane. This is it. This is the last thing he's going to tell his disciples before he gets crucified. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, if you abide in me, if is a condition, ladies and gentlemen. If you remain in me, I and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, you can take it literally, like you can't even make a cup of tea without Jesus. And that's fine if that's the way you look at it. Or you can look at it from a point of view that Christ is saying, listen, you want to get this Christian thing right? You can't do it without me. You really want to get your work right? You can't do it without me. I have sent you there. I've given you authority. I've sent you there. I've called you. I've raised you up. You can't do it without me. And if you are doing it without Christ, it's because you're not connected to the vine. So how successful are we really going to be when we're outside the vine? The great news is, if we're in the vine, man, we're going to have some lack of fruit. We're going to have some amazing, amazing fruit. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, listen carefully to what God says here. Ask whatever you wish, and it will become done for you. Not ask whatever you wish, and God will give it to you. It's a condition. If you are in Christ. Because if you're in Christ, your way of asking changes. Maturity is an interesting thing. Lord, give me a wife. Lord, give me a wife. Lord, I need a wife. Lord, I need a husband. Lord, I need a husband. I want a wife. I'm a good man. I want a wife. And then the Lord hears you and gives you a wife. And your prayers change. You're to help me. I'm undone. I'm full of sin. I'm a horrible human being. I forgot our anniversary. Lord, help us, because now we need to get a house and now we need to have children and everything changes. Prayer changes. When you are in Christ, your prayer starts changing. See, now you're not asking for a Ferrari or a jet ski or a whatever. Now you're asking for something a little bit more practical so you can build the kingdom. Lord, I need to get a bucky because I want to help people able to move. I want to be able to serve the community. Can I please have a nice, large bucky that we can put everything on the bucket and I can help people move? That's a God prayer. Random, but God. But if your prayer is, Lord, my neighbor's got a double cab, I want a double cab. I was on the holiday in Straspy. I don't believe there's cars outside of double cabs. I kind of felt weird in our vehicle. I felt very like undone. I was the whole time to my school park and ek maar die bakkie leen, you know, net vinnig ook daar toe ry. Anders moet ek maar stap. Gotta walk because if I don't have a double cab. We laugh, but I've never seen so many jet skis in my life as I've seen in Straspy. And you think for most people, one jet ski is enough. You need to have the twin double jet skis. And they just parked there. The one house had a double jet ski parked the whole time I was there. Nothing wrong with jet skis. I don't know, maybe. I don't know. I'm praying through this. I'm working through this one. Lord, I don't need to have a jet ski, but it'd be very nice if my neighbor would invite me over so I can go on the jet ski once. Just being honest. We're all sinners in the house. Amen. God is working in us. We're working out our salvation through fear and jet skiing. As the Father has loved me, so have I, Jesus Christ, loved you. Now remain in my love. Man, that is beautiful. Only John can get this. Peter couldn't get that. I mean, it's Peter, right? Peter was just interesting. I love Peter, but I don't think he got this. Not in the depth that John got it. That's why John wrote this. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments. Now, what commandments are these that God's speaking about? Is it the Ten Commandments? Let me help you. Yes. Is it the commandments that Christ gave his disciples, like that we read in the New Testament? Is it God speaking to you individually and saying, obey me? Yes. How can you abide in Christ if Christ says you must go somewhere you don't go? He's speaking also when God speaks, because God's speaking to all of us all the time. We are his sheep, we hear his voice. And when God speaks, the more we disobey, the more we get ourselves out of the vine. Yours is a rough way to start 2019, Bernie. Please have good news for me in the end. Here it comes. Listen, 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 listen. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. The reason we want to stay in the vine, the reason we don't leave when God prunes, it is because Christ himself wants to impart his joy into you. I don't know about you, but life's tough. Life is tough. And all I have is a few things that Christ gives me, and it's enough. It's Christ himself. And part of Christ himself is the joy. When you lose a child, that joy might be able to arise once the morning ends. While we were praying this morning, I had a vision of this beautiful green grass and this beautiful wooden house. And a fire was coming and it was burning up the grass, and the grass was more like smoldering, and came up to the house and finally burnt down the house. And this person was just stepping back every time as the grass was burning, as the grass was coming closer and burning, 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 till there's nothing left. For many of us, we feel that way. For many of us, we remember the good old days. Do you remember the good old days? If you do, you're in trouble. The good old days. It's unbiblical to have good old days. We're living in the now good day. But we remember when worship was amazing and church was amazing, and we remember when things was wonderful, and we remember the past. Because whenever you look back at the past, it's usually good things. Who remembers if 2007 was a good or a bad year? One of us. Wow. Must have been really a good year or really a bad year. But mostly it becomes a blur. And it seems much better in hindsight than when you were going through it. And in this vision, This person needed to replant grass and they needed to rebuild the house, but they didn't want to because they kept on, but it was so nice. It was so in the past, so in the past. And what I felt the Lord say in that moment, I saw a truck arrive with grass. I saw people coming together wanting to build this house. And what I saw in the next picture was so much joy while people were rebuilding. For some of us, we need to rebuild, especially after a year like 2018. We need to rebuild. And what I'm saying this morning is that God has a joy for us to rebuild. That we won't remember how beautiful the house was, but how beautiful the house is that we're building. And how great it is to dwell with Him and to dwell with one another. And how awesome it is to abide in Him and to remain in Him. Because there's such a joy. We look at people in the past. We look at the Davids and the Josephs and the Moses and the Pauls. Most of them had really, really tough lives. Can we go to the next slide? I'm hoping that I can work through this. It's a 10 character chests of Joseph. It's 10 sermons long. Those are the challenges that he had. And I'm going to work us through in the end what it was all about. But this is going to be a helper through. So we see Joseph, right? His dad's blue-eyed boy. He's the favorite. We see he's got amazing favor. Then he has this dream, which is this calling. And then he just gets betrayed by his family. There's a testing. He goes into slavery, more testing. Then he gets into Potiphar's house and he gets favor. There's calling. He can see, I'm going to do what God's called me to do. I'm going to have everyone bowing down before me. And then he goes back into jail. Continually, the father is pruning Joseph. Every time he's about to get there, come on, I'm in Potiphar's house. He's running the whole house, everything. He's driving the double cab. He's taking out the jet skis on the weekend. And jail. Jet ski jail. Lord, I changed my prayer. They can keep the jet skis. Lord bless them with more jet skis far away from me. Jail. Look at David. David gets, Samuel comes and anoints him. You're the next king. Sure. And the next thing, he's got favor. He kills Goliath, and everyone sees it. It's that try that you got that everyone saw. The whole world watched. I'm still talking about that time that you ran around the whole Wallaby team. The All Blacks. You ran around them all twice, and you got the try, and everyone saw it. Much favor. Everyone, public recognition. And running for his life. For many moons. God pruning David. God pruning. So the great fruit can come. We look at Paul. Man. Listen. Jesus himself appeared to Paul. I don't know when last you've seen Jesus in real form before you. Very interesting, in India, many of the people that come to salvation, not through a person, but Christ that came to them. We've met a few pastors, that's how they met Christ. In Asia, very much the same. With Muslims that come to salvation, had a conversation with a guy that was an imam, he's running the temple. Imam, thank you, imam. And Christ appeared to him 3 times. And he came to salvation. That's a big thing, by the way. Don't think we understand what that even means. So Paul has this calling, and he's got, later on, he's got great favor. I mean, who's not heard of Paul, right? It's Jesus and Paul. I mean who are the disciples after all? It's Paul. We all want Paul. Paul's everyone's favorite. Hardship after hardship after beating after beating. So that he might be pruned. A thorn in his flesh, so that he might be pruned to have amazing, amazing fruit. Many of us went through a really, really hard year last year, and God was just pruning you so that you might bear mighty, beautiful fruit, but remain in him so that you might have the joy for 2019. We're running out of time, and I wanted to finish the following scriptures, but can I ask if we go home and read through John 15? It speaks about the love of Christ in the end. So why? Why do we go through what we go through? Why do we remain in Christ? Because let's just be honest, many of our friends are not remaining in Christ. Many of us have friends, if you've been saved longer than 5 minutes, you've had friends that's left Christianity. You've had family members, you have people that have decided to walk another road. They've left the narrow road. And we need to be able to answer that why. And one of those whys I put before you, as we see with David, David served his generation. Joseph saved Israel from starvation. He saved the world from salvation. Most of the known world at that time. Paul served and helped establish the church. And in it, they had great joy. Hebrews 12 verse 2, I don't have it up there. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The cross of Jesus Christ was joy. In all the suffering, in all the everything, there was joy. We're going to participate in communion this morning. And we're going to pray for one another. Can I ask, we just pray that the Lord release joy in each other's lives for this year? Hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. Many of us, when we lose hope, we become hopeless, and then we're in trouble. And the Lord wants to reignite, I believe for this year, that joy. So we can have hope again. And that our joy can be transferred to the people around us. So this morning, I hope I've actually encouraged you through this hard scripture that says, if you abide in me, I, Christ, want to impart into you amazing things. And I want to remind you that there are two types of pruning. And the summer pruning is never fun and it's never easy. It's mostly when we feel God has left us. Why, Lord? Why have you allowed this to happen? Why, Lord? This was a good thing. For some of us, God has to come and circumcise things out of our hearts. He's got to come and prune our hearts again. So that our hearts can become alive again. There's an amazing sermon. It's more than just a sermon. It's a calling of John Piper. And the sermon's name is The Fight for Joy. If you can find it, John Piper, The Fight for Joy. Because it's a bit of an oxymoron. How do you fight for joy? But there's a fight that we need to keep on fighting to remain joyous. If the devil's taken your joy, he's already taken, I want to say, almost taken you out. Because otherwise that bitterness starts stepping in and that hardship starts stepping in. And you can't work out why this is worth it. Why am I still in this workplace? Why am I still living in this area? Why am I still in Durbanville? Why am I still in this church? Why am I in this small group? And if you go to go look in your heart, you'd probably find your joy has been taken. You've lost your joy. Or you've never had joy. For anyone that's feeling condemned this morning or feeling that maybe I'm not in the vine anymore or whatever, the fact that you are here and the fact that the disciples straight after the sermon ran for their lives and went back to fishing, I don't know how more unplugged you can get than that. This Jesus dude is dead. Okay, well, that didn't work out. Let's go fish. Let's go jet ski, okay? There is grace. There's a lot of grace. God is gracious and good. And he's saying to some of us, let's just plug back in. Let's just bring this year. Plug back in. That we might remain. Father, into your joy we come this year. I declare joy over every person in this congregation that's still on holiday or isn't here today, and everyone that is here today. I command joy over our nation, joy over Durbanville, joy over the Western Cape. In Jesus' name, this country will be a country of joy, where Christians will be different than the world because we have the joy of the Lord. That circumstances will not rule over us, but we will rule over our circumstances by standing on the faithfulness and the goodness of Jesus Christ. We thank you for your redemptive purpose for this church, for Durbanville, for Cape Town, for the Western Cape, for South Africa, for Africa. And we fight to remain in that. In Jesus' name, as we come and bring you 2019, may this be the year of joy for each and every one of us. And that we can take off the sackcloth. We can take off the ashes. We can put on a garment of praise. And we can worship in spirit and in truth, in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.